Praise God. Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday live from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I look forward all week long to being able to sit in this studio and bring you God's Word, words of life, and encouragement, and hope, and direction, and especially peace in your life. We are excited today because it is Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter, but we love to call it Resurrection Day. This is 2008, and the number 8 is actually, in the Word of God, means resurrection and new life. So that's exciting. The very number of this year means resurrection and new life. So we are declaring that over your life today as you listen to Living the Good Life. It's an exciting day. It's the day that we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could not be held in the tomb over 2,000 years ago. He could not be held there after he was placed there, after he willingly gave up his spirit. And he was not able, because God had designed ahead of time that he was not going to stay in that tomb. He was not able to stay there. In fact, he had to fulfill the destiny that God had said for his Son. And that was to come out of that tomb a risen Lord. And we celebrate this today. We're excited about it. All over the world, different ones are celebrating the fact that Jesus is the resurrected Lord. What does that mean in your life today? We're going to talk about that today on Living the Good Life. I have a special guest, Carol Wichert from Georgia, and used to be an active part in our ministry here in Florida, and then moved away a couple years ago and is still active, but from a distance. So she will be calling in soon, and we're going to look forward to conversating. I don't know if that's even a word, Lee. Conversing, I believe it is, with Carol about this resurrection day and what it means in our lives. Because we know that God has a plan for our lives, and we know that that plan started so long ago in the mind and in the heart of God the Father. And part of his plan was to send Jesus to this earth and to allow his Son to teach and walk this earth and minister, and then to die on a cross willingly for our sin. Praise God for that. I'm just getting the sign that Carol has just called in. Are you there, my friend?
I am here.
It's a great day.
From the Georgia Mountains.
Yes, Georgia Mountains. I bet it was beautiful today as you traveled.
Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous.
It's gorgeous here today, too. A little bit of wind, but for those that are sitting up in cold states, I would say that we are somewhere around 75 to 80 degrees, and there's not a cloud in the sky. My sister and brother-in-law actually took our kayaks and went out kayaking this afternoon, and it's one of those kind of days, Carol.
Wow. I tell you, that's the day that the Chamber of Commerce is glad to have you on the other
end.
Right.
That's right. They're saying, wow, they're plugging this area.
That's right.
Praise
God.
Area.
For those of you that don't know, it's a gorgeous area of Florida.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful. Aren't you glad that this is Resurrection Day, Carol?
I am very excited today's Resurrection Day, because that means that all of us, especially those that live in Christ now and those that will come to know him, have a full understanding after today's events that it was not a death. It was a life and a new beginning for all of us.
Exactly.
And, you know, we notice it in the earth itself first, I guess.
Right.
You know, everything starts popping out fresh and new babies born.
We just had spring a couple days. Spring has sprung.
That's right.
Right.
That is for sure. In the meantime, all is well in God's kingdom because his son has come home.
Amen. Amen. And it's a new day. I told my people at Beacon of Hope this morning, Carol, I feel that it's a new day. There is something fantastic going on around the world. I guess I've been saying this for a few months, but I am really, really feeling it in my spirit. I believe that God is challenging us to step out in new avenues of faith, to believe him for resurrection in different areas in our lives, to not accept the attacks that the enemy puts on us, but instead to fight and fight for life, for life. That's what I'm feeling, Carol.
Well, you know, Satan would have us believe all the old fables that he's told us, that we're not worthy people, that disease is what's supposed to run rampant through our body, that fear we are to shake and tremble because he says that's what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And being the master of fear, he tries to bring that into us. We're supposed to fall into a deep depression because of job situations for people, because of, let's just face it, that just the very act of going to work now has gotten to be so strained for many people.
Right.
Because of the gas prices.
Right.
And Satan wants to keep us locked into those kinds of fears.
To get us discouraged and defeated and thinking that nothing's going to change. Yeah.
Well, he's the master of deceit and defeat.
Yes, yes.
And however he can deceive us, he will try.
Right.
And he sends his message and his word loud and clear in the people that follow him. There is no hope.
Right.
Today is a new dawn of new hope for all of us.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Are seeking a closer relationship with Christ and wanting to change our lives from the mundane little world that we think we have control over into the world where Jesus actually is Lord and Master.
Amen. You know, Jesus overcame death and the grave, Carol.
Yes,
and we are to be overcomers in this year, this year of the 08, you know, with 8 being resurrection and new life. I really believe God is saying this, that he's looking for overcomers, those that will absolutely refuse to give in to all the negative press, that those that will refuse to give in to the negative discouragement in their own minds and their own emotions, but will step out in faith and say, you know what? I received that. This is a new day for me. And I declare that out over these airwaves right now, Carol, across the world, because this radio broadcast goes globally to all around the world, to all the computers that can receive it or want to. But I really believe this is a new day. This is a new day.
It is a new day, and it's a new day for hope and discovery in all of us. You know, we can dig deep into our own lives and see what the shade of darkness is and how it has affected us and affected everyone around us, whether it be a job situation that you're unhappy in or whether it be a family emergency or a reunion of family members that have been estranged from each other for a long time. This is a new day. This is what this day has been all about. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so beautiful, because we know that hope was reborn.
Right. Exactly.
When Christ left, hope was reborn.
Right.
And one of the things that I find so very interesting, and I had read this the other day, is that in something that literature that I read, that there is no remnant of Christ left. There's no grave to go to.
Amen.
There's no place anybody can go dig up a bone or take a lock of hair or anything and hawk it on eBay or in any other place.
Praise God. Yeah.
He left that empty tomb.
Yes.
To show us that all of our fears and things are empty and they're fruitless to follow.
Amen.
And now that we look to him and his resurrected body gives us new life and new hope and new reason to do things.
Oh, amen. So, Carol, you're saying that the resurrection does impact our lives today. Isn't that what you're saying?
It impacts our lives today in every single way that we could possibly imagine.
Praise God.
From running a person's household to whether they are choosing a church to attend. Maybe, Pastor, this was the first time someone's attended church today in a very long time.
Could very well be. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've been so estranged from spirituality, or maybe they've never felt the need for it.
Right.
And all of a sudden, through this wonderful, although very depressing time of Passion Week, they've been able to understand that the Christ that was crucified on that cross did it for them.
Amen. Oh, amen.
You know, they're willing to accept that and willing to know that they are somebody.
Yes.
They are his children.
Yes.
He only wants the best for us.
Amen.
And at only wanting the best for us, he only gives us the best, which was his son.
Amen. Wow. You're preaching, woman.
I've done that once or twice.
Yes, you have. We're going to listen to Jeannie, our dear Jeannie in our church, talking about Beacon of Hope for a second, Carol. And then we are going to play a song today. And it's a long one. It's about 6 minutes long, but it's long for a reason. And this song was written last Palm Sunday in our church at Beacon of Hope. It came just out, flowed out of Nathan Burton, and he wrote this song. We recorded it. He entitled it Picture This, and it's picturing that all these events of Resurrection Week and everything that happened. And it's an incredible song, and then I'm going to come back and teach, and then we'll bring you back in a little while, Carol, okay?
Oh, good.
All right, listen to Jeannie right now.
Do you wish you understood more of the Bible? The middle of the week is a great time to gather with us at Beacon of Hope and study God's Word. We gather around tables in our sanctuary with our Bibles and notebooks and enter into lively discussion as we study the principle of God's Word together. We call this time conference because our Bible brings us direction and purpose. I'm Jeannie from the Beacon of Hope, and I welcome you to join us this Wednesday night at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin at 7 p.m. for a great time of teaching and sharing. You'll be glad you took the time. We finish up at 8:30, so we hope to see you this Wednesday evening.
Picture this. Jesus walking there among them, healing their sick, casting out demons, giving sight to the blind. Picture this. How he's feeding poor and hungry souls, answering their confusion, showing love, he's so kind. Picture this. How he's there with all the lonely. Picture this. Holding children there on his lap. Picture this. God's love walking among them. Picture this. Picture this. Jesus reaching out to the forsaken. Picture this. Those who have been abused and been scorned. Picture this. Our loving Savior, to this he was born. Picture this. How he's touching those who're desperate. Picture this. Loving eyes, he would behold them. Picture this. Our Savior cared as he is living on earth. He showed God's love and his sweet kindness to all, to everyone who would receive. As he taught them about his kingdom, he showed them how much his Father loved them, giving them whatever they could. donkey with her baby close beside her as they sang. Picture this. Laying down the palm branches, singing loud hosannas, behold our King. Picture this. They're so happy to see him. Picture this. They thought he brought another kingdom. Picture this. If you will, picture this. One week later, there he stands, his body broken and bruised. There he stands as they mock him, criticize him. There he is, our accused. Then they nailed him to a cross. As we look, what a loss. Picture this. As they're walking to the garden where he lay, dead and gone. Picture this, how the ground, the earth trembled as they rolled away the stone where our Savior once was laid. Picture this, as they looked inside the tomb, he isn't there, for he's arisen just as he said he would. Can you now picture this? Picture this. Now he's living deep inside you. Picture this. How he's walking here among you. Picture this. That he's healing the blind, healing the sick, casting out demons, setting us free. Picture this, how he sent us out in his name. Picture this, when we receive him, we're never the same. Picture this, his sweet love deep inside you. Picture this. Picture this. Can you picture this?
Wow, praise God. Thank you, Nathan. So beautiful. We're glad you've joined us today. This is Living the Good Life, and I am Pastor Marcia McAllister coming from Beacon of Hope Ministries to you every single Sunday at this time live. We are studying in the book of John right now at Beacon of Hope. And if you have your Bibles, go with me to John chapter 20. Wonderful story, because you have all heard it, but we're going to point out some things and talk about some things today that maybe it's that you haven't really been thinking about. So that will be good. On that wonderful, wonderful day that Jesus went to the cross, and you say, wonderful, yes, wonderful, because Jesus had to fulfill his destiny. He had to do what God the Father had ordained for him to do, and that is come to this earth, live among us, walk among us, heal the sick, teach the word, talk to people about who God really was, show us the Father through his own life. He had to do all of that, and he did, and he did it, and he fulfilled it. And then the time came for him to be the perfect Passover lamb. You see, the Jews celebrated Passover every year at a certain time. What they celebrated was back in the book of Exodus, where Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for 400 years. God tapped Moses on the shoulder and he said, you're going to be my leader. You're going to be the one that leads my people out of this bondage and slavery. And of course, some of you know the story. There were a lot of different plagues and different things. And Pharaoh, the king, did not want to let the people go to a place to worship together. He didn't want to do that. And finally, he did let them go. But there was the slaughter of the firstborn in the households. And God said to Moses to tell the children of Israel that their firstborn would be saved if they did the sacrifice of a perfect lamb and took that blood from that lamb and put it over the doorposts of their home. And when the death angel came, then he would pass over that home because the blood would be on the doorposts. Now, some of you know that even today we plead the blood of Jesus over our minds. That is a symbolic thing of back from these Passover days. And from the day of that first Passover on in the Jewish life, the people celebrated Passover every year at the designated time. This was a celebration where they remembered that God saved their firstborn because of the blood of the unblemished lamb that was put on the doorposts of their home. And then we come to the time of Christ. And now Jesus has been ministering on this earth 3 years. We know him to be about 33 years old. Three is the number of God. It's the number of deity. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was walking this earth, talking and teaching for 3 years, not four, not seven, not two, but three, because God's numbers are very significant in the Word of God. And so the time came for Jesus to go to the cross. And as God the Father planned this, he didn't go to the cross just any old day. He went to the cross on the day, the Passover day. It was exactly at the time of Passover, that very day that they celebrated Passover. In fact, the day of preparation for Passover began on Tuesday evening, and that is when we find the Last Supper. And the Last Supper happened, and then Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he travailed before God, and he said, God, can you get me out of this? Do I have to go through it? And of course, God the Father said, yes, you have to go through it. And so he willingly then allowed himself to be captured and taken into the government of the land where five times, and five is the number of grace, five times Pilate tried to get away from having to be the executioner where Jesus was concerned. Pilate tried to get out of this whole assignment five different times. Now, we all know that Jesus was beaten. He was flogged. If you've seen the Passion of the Christ movie, it is incredible, that scene where Jesus is beaten. And the soldiers had a special kind of whip that they used, and it had 12 leather strands coming from a handle. And at the end of every one of those leather strands was jagged bone and pieces of masonry or something like glass that was all cut. And so when they beat Jesus, of course, it absolutely tore his flesh. Now, he willingly allowed that to happen because it says in Isaiah that the Messiah would be beaten and would bear the stripes on his back. And that would happen for us because he had to shed his blood. And he willingly did that. Aren't you glad about that? Praise God. Doesn't that just make you excited today to know that Jesus did not say, no, Father, I can't do this. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And he went forward and he fulfilled his destiny. I don't know about you, but This just reminds me of the importance of fulfilling the destiny that God has for us in our individual lives, because he does have a plan, and he does have a purpose, and he does have a destiny for you, and he wants you to fulfill something very important for his kingdom here on this earth. Now we go to this scene and we see that Jesus willingly went to the cross. He went to the cross Wednesday at about noon. And at that time, this was just a few hours before the Passover lamb was to be slain, which was slain at 3 o'clock on that Wednesday afternoon. That is when the Jews got together. They got their families together. They celebrated the Passover. They got the perfect lamb, the most perfect little one-year-old male lamb that they could find. They sacrificed it, and they remembered the Passover. Now, on that very day, now, this is not any kind of coincidence. This is when God ordained for the perfect Passover lamb to be slain, and this was Jesus. And Jesus willingly allowed himself to have the nails pounded into his hands and into his feet. And he willingly went to that cross with a crown of thorns on his head. And he hung there until about 3 o'clock. We know from scripture in Matthew chapter 27 that during those 3 hours, the sky got incredibly dark and black. The weather suddenly turned very, very bad. And we also know that right at 3 o'clock, the hour of Passover, and three again, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that perfect time of God, right at 3 o'clock, right then, Jesus willingly yielded up his spirit and died. We know that. Now, we also know that the storm was so bad that the soldiers were sitting on the ground saying, we really need to get these guys down off of these crosses. We're going to have a terrible storm. And so they began to break the legs of the two prisoners on either side of Jesus. We also know that scripture was fulfilled back in Psalms that says that his legs would not be broken. His bones would not be broken. And that is exactly what happened. By the time they got to Jesus, he was already dead because he had willingly given up his spirit and did that for the sins of the world, including yours and mine. So he willingly hung there on that cross, and he shed his blood for us. One of the soldiers pierced him through in the side. That is also a fulfillment of scripture. It says that he was pierced through. This is Isaiah 53. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed because of what Jesus did on the cross. There are some of you out there today that are sick in your physical body. God wants you well and whole. Go to your Bible later and look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, because Jesus willingly allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be spilled for the forgiveness of sin and for the healing of your physical body. You can go there, see those scriptures, and claim them. And if you're taking notes, go to 1 Peter 2:24, because it says it again over in the New Testament. He himself took our sins in his body on the cross. We might be dead to sin and alive to righteousness, and by his stripes, we were healed. We were healed past tense because it happened on the cross that day. All of the sin and sicknesses of all of us were placed on Jesus. Praise God that he was willing to do that. He went to the tomb shortly after that. He was placed in a brand new tomb and a friend of his went to Pilate and said, I want that body. And they gave it to him. He went to the tomb and he was there 3 days and three nights. Jonah in the whale in the Old Testament is a type, a foreshadowing of Jesus in the tomb, because Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, three nights. And Jesus was in the tomb Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He was in the tomb Thursday day, Friday day, Saturday day. And Saturday at 6 p.m. was the end of the Sabbath. And he came out of that tomb, the resurrected Lord, sometime after that 6 o'clock time on the Sabbath day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now we are in John chapter 20. And early in the morning on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday now, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. We know that is John, who wrote the book of John. John and Peter, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, saw the stone was rolled away, and she ran and got Peter and John. Interestingly enough, that Peter is the one who had just denied Jesus three times just a few days before. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John ran on ahead. He was younger and probably stronger, and he ran on ahead. And when he got to the tomb, when they got there, Mary Magdalene was standing there, and she said, "They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they put him." And I'm in verse 3 of John chapter 20. Peter and the other disciple left immediately for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. They got there. It says that John outran Peter. And when they got there, they looked in, and they saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but they didn't go in at that point. They looked in. Now, we know in John chapter 11, just a few days before, or a few short period of time before, Jesus had called Lazarus out of the tomb. His friend Lazarus had died and was in the tomb 4 days. And Jesus had called him out of the tomb. And when he came out and they unloosed him. And they let him go, didn't they? But Jesus slipped out of his garments and went and came out a risen Lord. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. We have a station ID. We'll be right back, and Carol will be joining us, and we're going to talk about the significance of all of this for your life.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
Are you looking for a group of people who care enough about you to pray for you and welcome you with the love of God? Beacon of Hope Ministries is a place where all are welcome regardless of age, color, race, ethnic background, sexual orientation, marital status, struggles with addiction, or mental or physical handicaps. All are welcome, all are loved and accepted. We encourage you to join us this Wednesday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 11 o'clock to worship God and study His Word. You will feel God's presence and His love for you. We are located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin. Please visit our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com for directions and details concerning the ministry of Beacon of Hope.
Thank you, Michelle. Praise God. All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida, and around the world. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with my special guest, Carol from Georgia. Are you there, Carol?
I'm here.
Wow. What a story, isn't it? Isn't it incredible?
It is a story. You know, it's just a culmination of what we've been anticipating. And yet, in a way, it's kind of a sad story because his friend Peter denied him. Don't you know that Peter had some real angst when he realized that he was actually the Christ?
Yes.
That would rise.
Right.
And it had to have brought Peter to his knees, I think.
Oh, I think so too. But I find it interesting, and I didn't get on into there yet with the teaching, but we'll talk about it in a little while, or we can talk about it now, that the two disciples that Mary goes to get are Peter, who had denied him a few days before, and John, who is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. These are the two that came there, and actually the first person to enter the tomb, the empty tomb, was Peter. It says in John chapter 20, because, you know, Peter looked in and for a minute and just looked at all the garments laying there and everything, and then he decided to enter. You know, he went in there and he believed. Isn't that cool that Peter was allowed to be the first one to go in that tomb? Wow.
Yes, it is, because it kind of, at that point, justifies what Peter would have been thinking when he walked in there. You know, he's gone, and he did rise, and he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, God Almighty.
Right.
And because of that, look at us. We can all do the same thing.
Yes.
And Peter had to be saying that to Mary Magdalene and to the other disciples when he went back and he said, you know, he was true. He was life-giving.
Yes.
And now that life will fall upon us. And it goes back to the Great Commission to go out and make the world believers and to change the lives of people whose lives may be somewhat disoriented or disjointed in some way. It's a calming balm to know that whenever you're facing a situation, even a praise report situation is good, and you want to share it with somebody, you can start it out with, you know, guess what God did through this
living
Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then take it on into further that when you're facing terrifying times, maybe the boss has called you in and you don't know what you've done wrong, but you go in there and you think, I just got to have this job. I've got to stay employed. And you go in, and maybe at one point the boss was really going to jump you about something. But for whatever the reason, maybe he sees on your face the loving face of Jesus looking
at you, and
he can't bring himself to be ugly.
Right. Well, don't you think, Carol, that's really what happened here with Peter? Because, I mean, Jesus even told him the night before he did, well, that night he said, you're going to deny me three times before, right. You know, the rooster crows before like 4 or 5 in the morning. You're going to have denied me three times. Oh, no, not me, you know. And yet it happened, and Peter fell into the human trap and one of the traps of the enemy. But it is so cool, in my opinion, that not only did he fall into that trap, which shows all of us that, hey, we are human, we live in a human body, we have human emotions, we get into problems, we say things we shouldn't, we do things we shouldn't, but still, in the midst of all that, God reaches out to us, and he rescues us, and he restores us, Carol. He restores us, and Peter was allowed to be the very first person to walk into the tomb of the risen Lord. Talk about restoration and God reminding Peter, hey, you know, you're okay, buddy. You're mine, you know?
Yeah. And you know, he breathes into us just the very life and the essence of our life comes from his energy.
Yes.
I'm reminded that when we have no energy, when we have no faith, when we have no hope, he has given it all to us by his birth and his death and his rising. We now have it because it's in us, restored through him. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing to know that when times are bleak and dark, he's been there.
Amen.
And he is there. You know, I always kind of, in my own life, thinking when I've gotten information that may not be something I've chosen to believe in, I think to myself, who am I to fuss and complain about something? He hung on that cross for me for 3 days. He never uttered, gee, Carol, I'm sorry, I can't do this. I've got to crawl down.
Right, right.
He was on that cross, and he took everything they threw at him.
Yes.
And he did it humbly, and he did it out of love for humanity that he didn't even at that point know.
And he took the suffering, the beating, and the crown of thorns, and the humiliation, and the all of that, because he knew he was fulfilling the Father's will for him and for all mankind, you know, forever from that point on. And he became our sin sacrifice, the great Passover lamb. Praise God. I just think it's so cool, Carol, how God fulfilled his word in so many scriptures, and he allowed Jesus to die on that cross at exactly the hour of Passover. Isn't that cool?
It's more than cool. You know, you can tell it was all ordained.
All planned.
Ordained for a purpose to go the way that
yes.
So, you know, there are no lies in Scripture. There's
That's
nothing
right.
in Scripture that will really contradict
right.
itself.
Right.
There are no lies in Scripture.
Yeah.
The Scriptures are the truth.
Amen.
We will hear the lies from the lips of people. We will hear the lies from pulpits. We will hear the lies from every imaginable source.
Right.
But you pick up Scripture, and it truly is a life-giving document.
Amen.
To read that Bible, every situation that we as human beings are going to find ourselves in has already happened.
Amen. Amen.
In Scripture, it's there. The consequence, the truth of it, and the consequence of it.
Well, and that gives us hope because the promises are there. They are in the Word of God to be found, to be appropriated, to be used. And to base your life on, a minute ago I was making this point, Carol, and I want to go back to it about Lazarus. Just, you know, a short time before Lazarus had died, you know, a human death. He was dead. He was buried. He was in the tomb 4 days, you know, and four actually, by the way, the number is worldwide evangelism. That's what it really means. And like north, south, east, and west, in other words, every direction. And I dare to say that all the world knows the story of Lazarus. You know, that is a common story. People know that Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. In fact, in John 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he proved that by raising Lazarus from the dead. And he raised other people from the dead through his ministry, not just Lazarus. But Lazarus had to be unbound by someone. You know, somebody had to do the ministering to Lazarus to loose him. But when Jesus came out of his grave clothes, Carol, he just slipped right out of him and no person had to loose him. Isn't that cool?
It's more than you can actually imagine, because you stop and read and his clothes were folded.
Yes. Yeah.
It was folded neatly.
Yes. Isn't that cool?
And he was able to break through, even though, you know, in that period of time, they really bathed the body in oils and all kinds of things to keep it from really smelling as bad as rotting flesh smells.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And yet he came out of that.
Amen.
And never left the remnant of an odor nor anything. And
no.
He spent 3 days and three nights closed in a tomb that
should have smelled pretty bad, didn't it?
You know?
It should have.
The cloth of his face was folded.
Yes.
And it was as if he were saying, I was a guest here, and now I'm gone. I'm going to leave the room to let you know that I have safely gone.
Amen.
It didn't show any tumultuous affair that took place in there.
No.
And I think it's in John where the angels are sitting there.
It's right there in John, yes.
Yeah, and angels are guarding over him. Don't you know what a privilege it was for those angels to be in there with him?
Wow.
And the comfort that he felt knowing that his Father sent angels. How many times in our lives have we cried out for angels?
Right.
How many times have we entertained angels unaware?
Exactly. Yeah.
How many times is in a dire circumstance or an emotional impact of something on our lives that we look around and there's a person who's ministering to us, and when you turn back to say thank you so much or you want to share them with someone, they're gone.
They're gone, yeah. Well, it's interesting in this account, Carol, that when Peter goes in there, you don't hear any mention in John chapter 20 of the angels when Peter goes in.
No.
And then he calls John in, but, you know, there's no mention of that, of the angels, until Mary Magdalene is on the ground and she is weeping and she is seeing it from an earthly perspective. Mm-hmm. She's thinking the body has been stolen. Okay. She's not at the same place where Peter and John were. She just isn't. She is still in her earthly thinking. And a lot of us get that way. We think that, you know, we don't understand the importance of the resurrected Lord, because Jesus came out of that tomb. It has forever changed history from that point on. And when Mary looks up from her kneeling position and she's crying, her line of sight looked right into the tomb, and all of a sudden she sees the angels there, one at the head and one at the foot, where Jesus had been. Praise God. Praise God.
You know, that just shows you that in the hours of comfort, when you really need it the most, his presence is with us.
Amen.
And when he is, you know, he will send what we need to comfort us.
Amen. Amen, Carol. Yes.
We always get what we need to comfort. We have to ask for it. He knows we need it. But we, you know, God is a God, and Jesus is a Jesus that wants us to ask.
Amen.
And wants us to say, praise you for it, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he
it's
does.
Very important. And they ask her, woman, why are you crying?
Yeah.
You know, and she goes on to answer them, because they've taken my Lord away.
Right. She was
and I
seeing,
don't even know where they've put him.
That's right. She was just seeing it from that human perspective, Carol, which we a lot of times, you know, when we apply that to our daily life, a lot of us think God's gone somewhere. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't see what I'm going through. He certainly isn't the resurrected Lord that can speak life into my situation. You know, a lot of us get into that trap that the devil puts in our mind and our emotions, that God doesn't care about all that pain and suffering that we're going through. I've been there before.
I think part of that comes from the fact that it's a fear-based feeling that we
have.
That's
right, yeah.
Because we haven't, quote, done enough. We haven't told Jesus that we accept him in our heart. He
right.
won't love us. He can't love me. I'm a criminal. I'm a rogue. I'm a this. I'm a that. He can't love me. I'm still in my base human state. And it's fear that keeps us from accepting his forgiving love, his hand that reaches out to us and says, my child, it does not matter what you have done.
Right.
I have forgiven you if you've asked me as far as east is from west. I am telling you now as my child that I love you. I want to be an ever-abiding presence in your life. So come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen. Amen. Carol, I agree with you. I believe it's fear-based, and I also propose to you that it is condemnation-based that causes us to keep our eyes on the yuck, you know, the junk in our lives, the
yep.
sin, the things where we have failed people and we have failed God. And we tend to get our eyes so in focus on the disappointments and the pain and the suffering and the way we think God hasn't come through for us. And when we do that, we cannot live in the victory of the resurrection. You know what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying, you know, and one of the most rewarding things that I have seen working in the churches and being involved in the workings of church and just the privilege of sitting among people who are making that revelation discovery in their life of resurrection, when you see that awe moment, when they realize that God is there for them. He sent Jesus to them in their hour of need or in their hours of greatest
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
That they've come and they've been able to share with the congregations and the churches what just happened in their lives.
Yes.
How Jesus stepped in. And, you know, you hear them so often say, I didn't know he even knew who I was. It tells us that he calls us each by name.
He does.
And if he does that, then he's also whispering something in our ear of great value and great importance.
Oh, amen.
I have a quick story. When I owned my ranch, one night, I'd worked very, very hard all throughout the day, working in the pastures and working with the animals, and I was physically exhausted, and I have a sleep apnea. And I had gone to bed and had gone to sleep, and I realized that I had stopped breathing, but I could not seem to get my air going myself. And I heard this calm, gentle voice say to me, Carol. And I came up out of bed, and I said, yes, yes, who is it? Carol. And I knew at that very moment that my Savior, the resurrected Christ,
wow.
knew that I had stopped breathing and I
wow.
couldn't restore it. But by calling my name gently, I came up out of a sleep and I said, yes. And in saying yes, I took in a deep breath and I was able to restart my breathing.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
So, you know, if he will do something like that for me, think of what he's doing throughout the world today. To every listener, call on his name. Ask him to help you. Talk to him like he's your best friend, because in truth, he really is. When you're facing a situation that's unbearable for you, go with him. Take his hand and say, Jesus, I am scared to death. I might lose my job. I might lose my house. I might lose my car. I might lose a member of my family. Whatever it is, Lord, my health issues are bad. Take my hand, Jesus, and sustain me. And I can promise each of those people listening today, if you ask him, he is right there with
Amen.
You. And when you and Jesus stand together, you constitute the majority in any situation.
Amen. While you're saying that and talking about that, it reminded me of Romans 8:11, and I want to read it out of the Message Bible. I just turned to it. Romans 8:11, if you're writing down a scripture, write it down. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God, the alive and present God, who raised Jesus from the dead, moves into your life. And Carol, that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
The alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead, moving into your life. In other words, getting involved in your day-to-day stuff. You know, the things you're going through, the things that are bothering you, the things that are causing you, you know, worry and fear and all that. So let me read this again. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus. Wow, this I could preach here, Carol. Bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Isn't that powerful stuff right there? That's Romans 8:11. Wow.
Overcome anything.
Amen.
With the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Carol, we have an incredible song here that we want to play. And it's one of New Song's songs, and it's entitled Rise My Love for Resurrection Day. We're going to play this, and I'm going to teach a few more minutes. And then, Carol, I want you to come back with us in just a few minutes. But praise God for your words of insight. You are such a wonderful friend and such a wonderful blessing in my life and to the lives of our listeners. So listen to this song, Arise My Love, and we'll be back to teach in another moment.
From heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
And suddenly a melody filled the air, riding
Praise God. Dear listening audience, we serve a resurrected Lord. The grave could not hold Jesus, and he arose from the dead, and he forever is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. The word says he is making intercession for us, the saints. On that resurrection moment, after 3 days and three nights in the tomb, he came out of that tomb a resurrected Lord, and we are talking today on Living the Good Life about what happened that very day when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, and then Peter and John came, and then they went into the tomb, and they saw that he was gone, and his garments were laying there very neatly, but he had slipped right out of them. And then Mary looked in, and when she looked in the tomb, she saw two angels there, one at the head, one at the foot, and they were, of course, gleaming and bright and in white garments. And, of course, immediately Mary knew something incredible had happened. Now, interestingly enough, I'm in John chapter 20. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And in John chapter 20, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping in about verse 11. As she wept, she looks in and she sees the angels. Okay? And then Jesus comes up and taps her on the shoulder and says, "Woman, why do you weep?" Now, she didn't recognize him at this moment. She thought he was a gardener, it says in the word. And she just said, "Because they took him. Where have they put him? I want to care for his body." At this moment, she still did not understand that he was living. He was the resurrected Lord. Here is what is fascinating, and when Carol comes back on, we can talk about this. In John chapter 20, verse 16, Jesus turns to her and says, "Mary." All he does was say her name. He just said, "Mary." And when he said her name, she knew he was God. I say to you today, God is speaking your name. And when he speaks your name, all you have to do is say, "Yes, Lord." He is right there. And suddenly she recognized him because of his voice when he called her by name. And when she turned, she said, "Rabboni," or teacher. She immediately knew by his voice that he was Jesus the Christ. And Jesus said to her, "You know, don't hang on to me right now." He had a mission to perform. He had to go into hell. He had to go up to heaven. That's another teaching. We don't want to talk about that right this minute. But Jesus had something to do. He had to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat in heaven and then come back. And he came back a few hours later. And Mary Magdalene left that scene and she went and told everybody, "I saw the Master." And she told them everything he said to her. And later on that day, the disciples had gathered together. This is verse 19 of John 20. And they were fearful of the Jews, so they had locked all the doors where they were gathering. And you know what they were doing in there? They were sitting in there going, "Peter, tell us again what happened when you went in that tomb. What did it look like? And Mary, tell us about those angels. And John, how did that feel as you were running towards the tomb and then you realized that he was no longer there? And Mary, are you telling us that Jesus really is alive? Can't you just hear all that conversation that was going on in that room?" Suddenly, and I'm in John 20:20, the disciples, well, that's interesting, isn't it? 20/20 vision, where you see clearly? Well, this is John 20:20. And the disciples, seeing the Master, they saw him with their own eyes. They were exuberant because he walked in right then, right through the door. He just walked right in, and Jesus said to them, and he said, "Peace to you." I find this fascinating that the first thing that Jesus says to them after he is now the resurrected, risen Lord, instead of the dead Messiah. No, he is the resurrected Lord. The first thing he says to this gathering is, "Peace to you," which is what he wants to say to you today, dear one, wherever you are. He says, "Peace." Then he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant, and Jesus said again, now for the second time, peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. In one translation, it says, so send I you. Just as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then in verse 22 of John 20, then he took a deep breath and he breathed into them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive them, what are you going to do with them? Now, Thomas, we know, Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And when the other disciples told Thomas, we saw the master, he said, unless I see the nail holes in his hands, this is Thomas talking, put my finger in the nail hole, stick my hand in his side, I won't believe. Thomas needed physical evidence, a lot like some of us. Now, so this is so cool. 8 days later, 8 is the number for resurrection and new life. Remember, this is the year 2008. 8 days later, his disciples were again in the room. This time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came through the locked door, stood among them, and he said, peace to you. Now, this is the third time that we see Jesus saying the same thing. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. I say that to you today. Peace to you. This is what God wants to say to you on this resurrection day. Be full of peace. Interestingly, when Jesus says peace to all of them, suddenly he focuses his attention on Thomas. Now, I find that fascinating, that Thomas was not even wanting to believe 8 days before. Jesus doesn't get all bent out of shape that Thomas has some doubts. He focuses his attention on Thomas and he says, take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. And Thomas said, my master and my God. Wow. Carol, are you there?
I'm here. You know, in the three-piece, I'm reminded of when they were in the boat with the disciples and Jesus was in the boat and they had taken it out into the sea. And yes, he was trying to sleep and rest.
Exactly.
And a storm came up and they became so just horrified that the storm was coming and it was worse and worse. And he was still very peacefully asleep. And they woke him, Master, Master, something's happening. The sea is roaring. Help us, help us. And he simply put his hand up and said, peace, be still.
Amen.
Well, you know, I think that's what he's saying to Thomas the doubter.
Right.
Be still, Thomas. I am who I am.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We're told one of the many names of Jesus is the great I am.
Amen.
And in Scripture, he tells us in John, I am who I am.
And he also in John, Carol, all the way through, we've been studying it at Beacon right now. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. That's who he calls himself. That's his name.
And, you know, if he is the resurrection, what wondrous hope there is for this world.
Amen.
For all the people who are lost through around the world are the people who cannot receive the message and have to receive it in underground methods. The people who search diligently with every little bit of knowledge that they have to find the peace.
Amen.
The peace in their life. And when they know that they're searching for something, and you ask them, what are you searching for? Peace.
Right.
Well, he says here, I am the peace. I am the resurrection, and I am the light. And no one comes but the Father, but through me, the Son.
Exactly.
You know, we just can't have access to God. We have to go to the Son who intercedes for us and takes us to the presence of his Father. We also know that the Son gives each of us a pertinent job and gifts that we are to give to other people.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And abilities. And I will say to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever you are attending church, if you are a member of a believing body of believers, don't wait for your pastor to be the one to instigate every program. Don't wait for the deacons or the assistant pastor or the music. If you see a need, step in
and do
fill
it.
That
yeah.
need. You know, I would hope that they would attend Beacon of Hope Church if they're closer. If they aren't, be a blessing where you are. Take
exactly.
the light of Christ into the kingdom that is lost.
That's exactly
step
right.
Step out. Step forward. Be bold in Christ. Wherever you go, he's there with
he's
you.
He's right there with you. And don't you find, Carol, that's very fascinating here that the first things that Jesus says when he appears to his disciples over those two different visits where he just walks right through the wall in his new glorified body, right through the locked doors, you know, and there he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he does not come into those gatherings and say, I don't believe you guys. Why don't you just believe me? What's the matter with you? He doesn't come in and say, Peter, how dare you deny me? He does not come in and say, I cannot believe that turkey Judas and what he did, the betrayer. He doesn't do any of that. He comes in, Carol, and he says, peace to you.
And, you know, behind that peace is, I think, the concept of, Peter, you have been forgiven.
Amen.
Judas, you were forgiven.
Exactly.
And then Thomas, you're forgiven because even though you traveled with me, all of you men traveled with me, 12 men that he chose.
Right, he chose them.
With him. And yet they walked with him. They talked with him. They knew his innermost thoughts. They saw his deeds in action. They saw his love go to the people that everyone else disdained and hated and abhorred to be around. He went to those people.
Exactly.
He could have walked with kings and lived in castles, but he chose to be among the common folk like you and me and our listeners.
Exactly.
Because he knew we would need a guide. We would need a guide to reach heaven. We would need a guide to understand the goodness in ourselves. We've got to learn through Jesus to believe in the goodness of ourselves. If he sees goodness in us, then surely
Amen.
His goodness.
Well, Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who are called according to his purpose. And, Carol, I find that interesting where you have Peter being the first one into the tomb after Jesus comes out. This is Peter that had denied him three times. You have Mary Magdalene being actually the first evangelist after the resurrection because she is the one that went to the disciples and got Peter and John for them to come to the tomb. Then after he calls her by name and says, Mary, she recognizes that this is Jesus, the resurrected Lord. And Mary goes to that wonderful gathering that evening with all of these people. And she's telling them, I've seen the resurrected Lord. And then he appears in that room, that gathering, that evening. I think it's fascinating, fascinating that God chooses Mary, who he had to deliver from all kinds of demonic problems. She had all kinds of moral issues. She was not a priest. She was not one of the leaders of the church. Mary was a failure in the earth standpoint. She was a sinner in so many people's eyes. Yet Mary is the one who became the first evangelist after the resurrection. This woman, actually a woman, which is fascinating too.
Yes, especially that period of time.
In that period of time. And, you know, it's like amazing that God chooses Mary Magdalene to be the first evangelist. What do you make of that, Carol? I'm just rambling
just
on here. I got to get a drink of water. Talk, Carol.
I think it just shows us that he goes into the commonplace of the world and the people that other folk might think are the less of us, the less of them, are the ones he lifts up and exonerates and gives a brilliant discourse on hope and faith.
Doesn't
you know,
it?
Here's the song, you know, I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
We've
Amen.
All been the Mary Magdalenes. We've all had all kinds of issues.
Oh, yes.
And by showing that she was dismissed of the demons, that she was forgiven for her
yes.
earthly sins,
right.
he says to each one of us, and, you know, he has the men on one side, and then he has Mary, and he says to each of us that way, each gender, he says, you are forgiven.
Amen.
I will give you a new heart. I will put my heart in your heart, and your desire for me will become stronger and
stronger. Amen.
Until such time as we make that confession of faith and say, here I am, Lord. Use me as you will. I will do whatever you ask me to do, Lord. I will put myself behind and put you forward.
Amen.
And it's a privilege to walk and to serve in Christ's kingdom. It's a privilege to go to brothers and sisters who have never known him or who need him at that moment And I'll tell you what, when he sends you, put your traveling shoes on. If you're going to be running, once he finds he can use you, and listeners, please, he can use and will use each of you
yes.
to reach someone else.
Exactly.
And when he sends you, you may not know why you've gone.
Right.
But you will recognize when you get there. You didn't go on your own volition. You went because the Lord sent
Because God sent you. And, you know, I was going to talk about this in a minute, Carol, but you just gave a perfect segue to this. God has been really speaking to me and to, and you know this, in the ministry of Beacon of Hope. And we are finally beginning to take the ministry of Beacon of Hope, not just around the world with CDs, which we've sent out 30,000 of those over the last few years, free of charge, all over the world. We have maps in our sanctuary that show where all of our CDs have gone. But now, Carol, with the ministry over the radio, which we are almost ready to complete our first year, this is our 50, our 50th broadcast live here on the station. We're excited about that today. But our next step of moving out is to take the ministry on the road. And I have an invitation in April 13th, Carol, and you know this dear man, Pastor David Pettit, up in Pensacola, who started a church. He's a missionary from Mexico, and he has a church in Pensacola. And so I will be ministering there Sunday, April 13th. And so we will actually probably have to pre-record that radio that week because me being in Pensacola that day. We are beginning to take the ministry of Beacon of Hope, which is the ministry of Jesus, to the disenfranchised, those that have never felt like God really cared about them, those that are suffering from all kinds of hang-ups that need that gospel of peace brought to them. And this will be the first Sunday that we are taking this ministry, Beacon of Hope, actually, through the preaching ministry and my two books, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It. We are going to take all of that on the road that weekend. So there might be some people out there listening, Carol, who are pastors or leaders in churches that would like to have me and a team from our church come and minister in their church, and they can contact us through our website at info@beaconofhopeministries.com, and our webmaster, Maxine, will see that we get that invitation and go from there. Isn't this an exciting new day, Carol, that we're taking the ministry on the road?
I think it's very exciting. You know, quite often churches need to be shaked up just a little bit. They hear the same shepherd's voice over and over, and they kind of fall asleep in the pews. And sometimes it's a great thing for pastors to contact other pastors and say, can you bring your message of hope?
Yes.
I think we need a little shaken up, or we need to have the same words delivered in a different tongue.
Right.
And I know that you're bilingual, with yes. Spanish being your second language.
Yes.
And our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Spanish communities that need to have the word in their tongue, it can be available to them as well.
Yeah, I taught Wednesday night in Spanish.
I'm excited for the fact that the ministry's going on the road.
We're doing it, yes.
I think it's about time, and I think it's about time people were able to look up and say, a fresh new voice is coming in.
Praise God.
And we're going to hear it, because I know you're God-driven, and I know you speak the words of the living Christ.
It's the anointed word of God, and there's nothing in this world I'd rather do than teach and preach the gospel, and especially to people who feel beaten up and that God's, you know, not on their side, and that don't understand the importance of the resurrection in their life, that Jesus is peace, and that's what he wants to speak to us. You know, one of the main thrusts of the ministry of Beacon is our slogan that we've had since we began, which is where the word of God brings healing and restoration, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And that is the ministry of Beacon of Hope. Anybody listening out there, Carol, a pastor or somebody in a church, and you say, I want my pastor to invite us there, can go on our website and find out all about us, what we're about. And anointed word of God, that's what we are.
Would you go ahead and tell folks again how they can get those CDs? Because I know they've traveled all over the world. We've had so many responses from our service people who get them from their families and from other people in other cultures. You know, we've gone as far as Pakistan. We've gone to
yes.
Guatemala. We've gone to
Argentina, India, Africa. We've got them everywhere. my sermon CDs. They just go to our website, and I believe you just hit CDs at beaconoffhopeministries.com.
And the price is
order.
What now for those?
They're free. They're all free.
They're absolutely.
They've always been free, postage included. We've never, ever charged a penny, and God has always provided the money. Carol, I think that in this new day, that's a new day at Beacon of Hope, it certainly is, and it's a new day in this, you know, on Resurrection Sunday, we actually begin, it's like the first day of the rest of your life, you know,
and
those listening today that have been beaten up by religious people, by people who condemn them and cause them to constantly want to focus on their past hurts and failures and sin, this is a day where Jesus is saying, peace to you, peace to you. That's what I believe he's saying, Carol.
I think he's saying that, and I think in that peace is the love that passes all understanding. When the rest of the world, and our families included, and friends and other acquaintances, don't seem to love us for who we are.
Yes.
He does, because he knows our name.
Yes.
And we are important to him.
Yes.
And he loves us, and he cares for us. He wants us to have a closer relationship with him. So tell somebody this week that Jesus loves them. And believe it in your own heart that you are loved by Jesus. And it comes because he died on that cross, rose to sit with his Father at his right hand, and intercede for all of us.
Amen.
And we're grateful for that. It is truly a blessed day today.
Ooh. Isaiah 43 comes to my mind, Carol, in the first part of Isaiah 43, it says, "Don't be afraid." This is God talking. "I've redeemed you. I've called your name," just like he did Mary, you know, just like he's saying, "Hey, Carol, you know, I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I have paid a huge price for you. That's how much I love you. I'd sell the whole world to get you back, trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I'm with you, saith God. I'll round up all your scattered children and pull them in from the east and west, and I'll send orders north and south, send them back." And then he goes down into about verse 18 of Isaiah 43, Carol, and he says this, "Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say, 'Thank you,' and coyotes and buzzards, because I provided water in the desert, rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, a people custom made to praise me, saith God." Whoa.
You know, if people really want to feel good about themselves, instead of having that vision of someone in their mind's eye that they, quote, hate or despise or can't stand to be around or think are useless, if they will just one time put that picture of that person's face in their memory and say, "I don't always agree with you, and I certainly don't like what you've done, but I'm going to pray that God come into your heart and change you so that you will be his follower."
Amen.
And we just don't have a concept of what that does to our own hearts when the bitterness leaves us.
Amen.
There is no bitterness in Jesus.
Amen.
He was never bitter, regardless of what happened. Even when Peter denied him, you know, when the centurion touched Peter's arm and said, "Aren't you a follower?" "Oh, no, 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 not I," said Peter.
Right.
You know, even at that point, he didn't despise Peter. He didn't dislike Peter.
No.
And if we can take that.
Because he knows our humanness, Carol. He knows that we're just but dust, you know, and that we make all kinds of crazy mistakes, you know.
But we don't make those mistakes over and over again if we lean on him when we're indecisive about something. Do we need to lean on him? Yes, we do. Because he's been through it, and he hung on that cross so that he can tell us, "I've been through it, I've been resurrected, and now I'm here to save you."
Praise God. Amen. Carol, there might be somebody listening today who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I would like to pray a prayer, and if you'll repeat it after me, Carol, it might make it easier for somebody in our listening audience to repeat it.
I will be legion. You go ahead.
Would you do that? All right. All right. Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus.
I come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus.
And I ask you to forgive me for all my sin.
And I ask you to forgive me for all my sin.
Everything that I've ever said or done.
Everything that I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Please forgive me, God.
Please forgive me, God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son.
I believe that Jesus Christ is your son.
That you sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for me.
That you sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for me.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I accept him now as my personal Savior.
And I accept him now as my personal Savior.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Come into my heart, Jesus.
Live in me.
Live in me.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Fill me up.
Fill me up.
With your very presence.
With your very presence.
I accept you now.
I accept you now.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, Carol, a few minutes ago between my Sunday morning service and getting something to eat with a friend after church and then working a little bit, I had time to drive through the cemetery where my dad is buried and where he was buried on November 10th, just a few weeks ago. What a joy, Carol, to drive through that cemetery. It was beautiful with all, I got out of the car and my friend and I walked around and we talked about Dad and everything. But to know that he's not in that mausoleum there, you know, it's got his name on it, Carol. It's got William Wagner on there, but Dad is not there. He is alive in heaven with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And
Amen.
That's why it is so important to accept Jesus as your Savior and know that he's the resurrection and the life, that he, Jesus, isn't in a tomb, that he's the resurrected Lord. And when we die, we go to heaven and we live with him for all eternity. I don't know about you, Carol, but I can just shout. I could just go on preaching right now about that very thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
And don't you just know, in his presence with the Lord, that what an influence he had in your life, not only as your father, but because he was a pastor and he was a believer like your mother.
And an evangelist and a missionary.
And that you and your sisters
yes.
were introduced to Christ at a very, very tender age.
Yes.
Very tender age. And it's important to know that that you have that ability that your father has. Your father in heaven gave you the vision that your earthly father had as well.
Amen.
And you're able to carry on his work.
Amen.
As he did on this earth.
Exactly.
And you've been able to go back to the villages in Guatemala.
Yes.
And you've been able to work in the...
And I want to go back again and preach the word, you know?
I know you do. And to walk into the Spanish Barrows and in Tampa, and to be able to speak the language,
yes.
tell people the importance of knowing the risen Christ.
So it's a resurrection Sunday, Carol, and
yes,
Jesus is alive. He's no longer in that tomb. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise God. So those that are listening today that are going through all kinds of struggles and problems, peace to you. Because Jesus lives, you can be free from all pain and anguish and condemnation and sin. Carol,
it brings about your favorite song, Oh Happy Day.
Oh Happy Day, amen. Carol, it's been a pleasure. I've got a sign coming. We got to finish up. And
okay.
you know, our sign-off song, I love so much. It's Not Far to Jesus. You have been listening to Living the Good Life. Thank you, Carol, from the bottom of my heart. It's been a great time together. Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister saying, please join us next Sunday at 4:30. Call somebody, invite them to tune in. It's Not Far to Jesus.